you can find the spirit of Serbia and echoes of a glorious past in the monasteries out in the Serbian countryside. This is the Ravenica Monastery in a valley about 100 miles from Belgrade. Prince Lazar's remains are in a casket here. He was the hero of Serbia's most famous defeat, the Battle of Kosovo Polje, Serbia losing to the Turks in 1389. This week we're examining the conflict in Bosnia by going back to the beginning. 1389 is a useful date for the Serbs. Another is 1987, which marks the latest resurgence of Serbian pride, the awareness of Serbs as victims, the idea that only a Serb can save a Serb. Here's how a Yugoslav government official, Svetislav Stojanovic, explained it in 1993.
There are people who have made this into a mythology, of course, that we are almost the chosen people. And there are people who now believe that it is befallen us Serbs to make a final stand and to defend the right to self-determination, democracy, liberty, and freedom. And it is up to us Serbs now to save the world.
The rise of Serbian nationalism has a face, Slobodan Milosevic. He is Serbia's president. In 1987, he was the Republic's Communist Party chief. But the communist era was over, and Milosevic saw a chance. In the southern part of Serbia, Serbs were in a minority and were being mistreated by ethnic Albanians. Later, Serbs in Croatia came to believe they were in danger, and Serbs in Bosnia said they wanted a separate state. Slobodan Milosevic raised the banner of a greater Serbia, and to a certain extent he used Yugoslavia's military power in an effort to achieve it. Roger Cohen has covered this conflict for the New York Times.
I think that there's a kind of a void inside Milosevic. I think he's an extremely malleable man. I'm not sure he has intense human feelings about anything or anybody. I think that he did feel moved by what he saw as the plight of the Serbs in Kosovo. This was an autonomous region of Yugoslavia, which is dominated by ethnic Albanians, who account for about 90% of the population. And he was swayed by the calls from the Serbs in Kosovo, saying that they were being mistreated by the mainly Albanian authorities. And he saw in Kosovo that the power of this idea was enormous, and having unleashed it in Kosovo, it then spread across the rest of Serbia, and he allowed himself to follow it and ride this tide. The tide was an enormous one. There were posters up in everyone's bedroom in Belgrade of Milosevic. He was a kind of a duce for a moment, and I think this went to his head. And Milosevic, having been a fairly anonymous communist apparatchik up until 1987, was very taken with this abrupt explosion of passion for his personality. It was more than a passion for his personality. It was a sense that Serbia was being reborn. And it was a moment, I think, of national folly, such as can occur in the history of peoples. The history of the Serbs has moments of great glory, bravery, and courage. What we saw here was a terrible face of Serbian frustration, which simply exploded in uncontrollable ways over a period of 5 or 6 years.
Do you think that Slobodan Milosevic actually had a plan for a greater Serbia at one point that would include the Serbian part of Croatia, what could be the Serbian part of Bosnia as part of Serbia as a state?
Not only do I think that, I'm absolutely convinced of it. Milosevic was extremely clear in 1991 in saying that Croatia could go, but the land occupied by Serbs, that is the Serbian minority in Croatia, about 14% of the population then, that land could not go with Croatia. In other words, those lands in which predominantly Serb populations lived. A similar plan existed for Bosnia, and indeed right at the outset of the Bosnian War, you saw a very deliberate and coherent attempt to draw a new map and so form a Greater Serbia in which other peoples, Muslims or Croats, had largely been chased, evicted, ethnically cleansed, as the saying goes. The plan did not work out because I think in the end it was not pushed through ruthlessly. And Milosevic, I think, is a man of fatal hesitations. I think history will judge him quite severely because he went halfway in whatever he did.
Can you track for us over the time, the 4 years of the conflict there, beginning in Croatia and then in Bosnia, the response of the Serbian people supporting Milosevic, for what reason, what did they think they were going to get out of it, and then the fact that the war continued so long and the severe economic sanctions against the people of Serbia?
Well, as I said, I think at the outset there was a moment of what I can only call national folly. When I was in Belgrade early in the Bosnian War in August 92, that's to say 3 months after the war began, there was a kind of pervasive inebriation that had swept through the Serbian people and had led them on a rampage that was going on at that time through Bosnia. And as the war went on, that was supposed to last perhaps no more than 6 months, dragged on through 1, 2, 3, and then 3.5 years, one could see this fever gradually ebbing. And without the support of Serbia, without the support, active, full support of the Serbian-dominated Yugoslav army, there was no way that this war could be won. Moreover, what was the project they were fighting for? What was the idea that was behind the conflict? The idea had been to redraw maps, and that idea had been abandoned by its instigator. And a palpable exhaustion set in, the fever evaporated, and the war wound down.
Can you identify, Mr. Cohen, a turning point where this conflict started going away from Mr. Milosevic's control, where he had to say, I can't go after these territories in Bosnia any longer?
Well, I think as early as 1993, he began to see the folly of what he had unleashed. The fact is that he had to go further if he was really serious about this project. He had to use the Yugoslav army, I think, in an open way. But he never wanted his fingerprints on anything. If he had called in the army, if he had used the Yugoslav army in an overt way in Bosnia and in Croatia, he probably could have triumphed militarily, but he could not have denied responsibility. It would have been there for everyone to see. But he has always wanted to hide his responsibility, and so I think the project got aborted halfway, and hundreds of thousands of people paid the price. Serbs themselves and the Muslims of Bosnia and Croats, everyone paid.
Roger Cohen of the New York Times. Tomorrow, our series on the conflict in Bosnia moves to Croatia for the story of President Franjo Tudjman.